Well, friends, welcome back to Narrative Society. I'm so excited to be with you guys today and excited for you guys to hear this conversation that I had with my good friend Parker Smith. Parker is a husband, he's a father, and he leads a successful small business. And the thing I love about Parker is that he's always hungry to grow and learn from other people's stories. He's always leaning into those around him and trying to better himself as a husband, as a father, and the way that he's leading his business. And this conversation was really practical, talking about goal setting, habits, lifestyle, and I just know it's going to encourage you no matter what chapter of life you find yourself in. So do me a favor, share this episode with your friends, leave a review, and sit back and relax as I have this conversation with my good friend, Parker Smith.
Hey, here we are, mate. Parker is officially on the call. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Josh?
I'm great. It's a privilege to sit down with the one and only Parker Smith, mate. But in all seriousness, excited to have this conversation. And as I said earlier, Parker's one of my great friends, great husband, father, leading a great business, and also just impacting the community. So excited for the conversation, mate. And would love for you to kind of give a little bit of a preamble to everyone, like what's life look like for you. Kind of catch us up to speed on your journey and your story.
Sure. Before we even get started on that, today's a good day for me. A couple of years ago, I wrote down like a bucket list of 100 things I want to make sure that I do. One of those is to be a guest on a podcast. So you're helping me cross off that list.
Let's go, mate. You stick the line.
Yeah. So I live here in Anderson, South Carolina. I met my wife, Mary Pat, at Clemson University. We lived in Greenville for a couple years after that. I got plugged into an insurance company, State Farm. It was really a leadership program. Got plugged in with them. And a couple years later, I was able to open up my own franchise here in Anderson. So we've been open for 5 years now. We have two kids, Curtis and Mary Brown. Curtis is turning 2 next week. Mary Brown turned 8 months today. So just a lot of milestones that we're hitting. It's really fun and also wide open.
Wide open. As we've known each other, I guess now 5 years or so, and just like the journey used to be the four of us as couples hanging at the four people, you and Mary Pat, me and Taylor. Now it's just wide open, kids everywhere. Life's beautifully crazy, but it's a good time. So, man, I would love to, the whole goal of what I'm trying to do in this podcast is help people see the power in their stories and different career paths, and love talking leadership, life, family. But for you, so you're now leading a business, you've got a couple young kids at home, marriage. What was that always, I guess, the goal? What was the original dream for Parker, and what was kind of the journey to now, I guess, where you're at in life?
Sure. I don't know how many people I've told this story, but back in high school, you know, I really thought that, you know, I really want to work in the ministry. This is something that, you know, I feel like I'm led to. It's something that I could see myself doing. We both go to the same church, and they really do a great job of empowering young people. And our youth pastor, he asked me, I told him I felt like I was led to the ministry. And he said, well, let me ask you this question. If you feel like you're being led into the ministry, could you work at any church that God calls you to, or could you work in any type of ministry, or do you just want to work at our church? Because let's be honest, it's a pretty cool place to work. And that really made me think. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm having a really short-sighted view on this. So that was something that I still thought and prayed over. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I ended up going into the business world. And me and you have talked about this a lot. But you know, my business is my ministry, and it gives me a path to be able to, you know, speak with people with all different types of walks, with my employees, with other business owners. So that's been a really cool aspect. I've always wanted to own my own business. I was just super naive in that I thought I had to go on a Shark Tank and create a product, sell it for $1 million and exit. Didn't didn't really know that I could be in a tried and true industry like insurance. And just through some different relationships and conversations, the Lord led me to work in the insurance industry, which has been great. I feel like I've really been able to have an impact with that. So it's been, I mean, I'm still at the beginning of my journey. It's only five years in, but I do think that I did get caught into the, America really likes to glorify entrepreneurship. So I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to own my own business. I want to have my own flexibility, unlimited income potential. What people don't think about is all of the things that come along with that. And I'm sure we'll talk about that, but, you know, the riskiness, the investment, always working on your business when everybody else gets to go home and, you know, be with the family. So there's pros and cons to it, but ever since college, this is what I've wanted to do. And it has been amazing. There's just, you know, setbacks that come along with it.
Yeah. It's easy in life to, I guess, imagine what the end result would be of this dream scenario, but everything in between, the hard days, the unseen things, is what shapes ultimately whatever that quote unquote end result would be. And so, man, tell us, like, rewind when you're in that kind of process of like, all right, I'm going to go down this, business route. And obviously you kind of have this picture in your mind of what it could look like, and then you kind of get smacked in the face with reality. What were some of those like early lessons that you're kind of learning that, man, I have this picture of what it could be versus now I'm putting my hands to work. What were some of those lessons and maybe mistakes that you made early on, that you learned in that journey?
Right. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. For me, just already having the end in mind, which is important, but I did not think about the journey, and I wasn't enjoying the journey of what it took to get there. And then once I kind of fell in love with, you know, the day-to-day process and still keeping that end in mind and that goal of where I wanted to go, but kind of enjoying the grunt work that comes along with fulfilling any type of dream. You hear people that, you know, play on a sports team. They say like, yeah, you know, winning the championship's great, but it's the day in, day out practice with my teammates. That's the part that I'm really going to miss, or the part that I really love. And the same is true for business. So that I would say that was a mistake that I made early on. Another mistake would be, you know, for a long time, I thought I had it figured out because I was hitting the promotions that my company put out for me. And I didn't have any humility in trying to get better and perfect my craft. I just kind of thought I had it figured out. And that was for 3 years. And 2 years ago, when I really started to adopt a beginner's mindset, a learner's mindset, that's when I really saw my company take off, and me have a lot more fun while I was doing it.
That's awesome. Speak to more of that, those lessons of, because I think it's easy, particularly when you're younger. It's like, man, you've got an idea in your head, going to go crush it. You maybe kind of get some wins, and you're like, man, I've kind of perfected this. And you kind of plateau and feel like, man, I'm just kind of here. I've felt that in my life where it's like, man, I need to keep investing. I need to keep positioning myself around older people, mentors, figures, people that I can grow from. What was kind of the trigger for you to do that? And then what were some of the changes that you made to take on, you said that learner's mindset?
Yeah. So I had the epiphany when most other people did during COVID. There was a lot of time to be able to reflect and kind of see the things that were working well and the things that weren't working as well. And without getting into a rabbit hole, within my company, I was having success externally with all of the, you know, the goals that the company puts out for us. But I could see some trends to where it wasn't the highest quality business, and I was going to be in a rapid decline if I didn't change. I think it's very easy for us when we think about success to think about our peers that were more successful than in whatever industry you're in. But, oh, I'm doing better than so-and-so. So, I mean, I'm good. I don't need to learn anything. But there's always people who are also on the other side that are, you know, light years ahead of you. And that's when I was like, I'm doing well. But I'm just leaving so much on the table. And if they can do this, then I can too. So in terms of the learner's mindset, Josh, me and you have talked about this, but I completed a program in 2019 called 75 Hard, which is a program. It's a lot of health focus, workout focus, but you also have to read 10 pages a day of a nonfiction development book. So I got some book recommendations from some other peers of mine, and I started to read 10 pages every morning. And that's when I found out, oh, wow, there's this whole other world out here of people who are bettering their leadership, perfecting their craft. And if you don't spend any time on that, you're eventually going to decline. A lot of us think that there's a straight line in life, but you're either going up or you're going down. And that can be with, you know, that can be with your relationship with your spouse. That could be fitness. That could be with your business. But for me, that COVID was when I really started to kind of realize the importance of that. And what's wild is when you humble yourself to actually have a learner's mindset and try and get better with whatever that you do, that's when you realize that there's actually more that you don't know. You think you know everything before you start to try and learn. But once you start learning, you're like, oh my gosh, there's this and this and this and this and this. And it just opens up all these doors of, I need to start reading this book about being a good parent. I need to read this book about being a good husband, getting this mentor. And that's what makes life fun. I tell my team progress over perfection. And just if you can keep progressing, you know, and ultimately that's something that glorifies God, is, you know, fulfilling your potential. And you have to have the one thing that I am working on with all of this is making sure that I'm doing things for the right reason. Because one thing that I've really been convicted of, or the Lord's been teaching me over the past year, is, am I doing this to build His kingdom or Parker's kingdom? And a lot of times it's for selfish reasons. Right. So I've been working with that, with trying to align, to make sure that I'm doing things for the right reasons and for the right impact. Yeah, I think all the humility to be able to accept that you don't know everything is the first step to getting that learner's mindset.
That's so good, because it's easy, I think, when you are having some wins or successes going on, to almost be like the big fish in a small pond of like, man, I know my ecosystem around me. But it's like when you position yourself to learn and grow, and it opens your whole wider perspective, like, man, there are way better people in so many different ways, and I could grow my marriage, family, relationships, all of it, work, whatever it is. And tell me about, man, I remember when you did 75 Hard, you were telling me about this crazy program, and I was like, man, you're nuts. But you were so disciplined on it, and I remember it like really being like transformative for you, and it was a cool mile marker in your life. Was there some times where you're like, man, I don't want to do this, like you're working out two times a day? I'm sure there's lots of times, but a story or a moment where you felt like, man, like this is actually like changing me, and how it impacted you. Like, tell me a time where you didn't want to get out of bed, or what were some of those things that shifted for you?
Sure. Well, it definitely makes you focus what your priorities are. And another thing that I learned from it is we actually have a lot more time in the day than we realize. Last night, Mary Pat and I watched 3 hours of Love is Blind on Netflix.
Right.
So that's the new thing that we're into. But, you know, I could have used that 3 hours to, you know, spend time with her. I could have used it to work out. I could have used it to, you know, play with my dog. I mean, we have plenty of time in the day, but when you aren't intentional with your day, you blink and it's, you know, 9:30, 10:30 and it's time to go to bed. So it forced me to be way more intentional. It also gave me a ton of confidence that, you know, I am more capable than I thought I was. So that was something that was a huge revelation for me. I'm a huge people pleaser. One of the things on there is that you can't drink alcohol, and you can't eat dessert. So, you know, like when you're at a birthday party and everybody has cake and you're that person that says no, it's awkward. I hate that. And it forced me to get over that. So that was another thing that was great, but oh, it was tough. There's a reason that it's not an indefinite program, that it's only 75 days, which, you know, that's 2.5 months. And if you can commit to doing something for 2.5 months, it's a very popular program because a lot of people have seen success from it. But for me, yeah, it was transformative. The thing that I got the most from it was, I've always been very achievement seeking. I'm a Enneagram 3. I'm happy when I'm like knocking goals. Heck, the first thing we talked about was knocking something off my bucket list. So it kind of shows you where my mindset is. But there's that famous quote of, we don't rise to our goals, we fall to the level of our systems. Mm-hmm. And really is, we fall to the level of our habits. And it's hard to create a new habit. It's really tough. But when you're more focused on being consistent in whatever that is, you know, working out, memorizing scripture, you know, it's way harder and also, but more effective to, you know, I'm going to do this every single day rather than have a goal of losing 20 pounds, you know. Forget about losing 20 pounds. Why don't you focus on, I'm going to run every day after work or whatever that is. So creating those habits, and that's really revolutionized my business too. We always used to have these big goals. And again, I think goals are important, but we started focusing on a daily level. What are the things that we need to do in our every day that's going to help us hit those? And let's just focus on that. Let's simplify it. So if you have, you know, this big goal of, you know, I want to write a book one day, why don't you rather change that to, you know what, every day I'm going to open up my computer, I'm going to write something. Then, you know, a year later, you're going to have a book. So that was something that I really learned from 75 Hard as well. And I've tried to apply that to my everyday life since then. Me and you have talked, I'm not doing well right now, so I got to get back on it. But it was revolutionary for me.
You're by far your biggest critic, but I think you're doing pretty good. But I would love to kind of tap into that, because I think you're hitting something that's super helpful for people. People may not be kind of made the same wire as you of like going after it. Here's these goals I'm gonna try here, daily inputs. But speak to more. Maybe it's just and obviously everyone's journey and lifestyle is different. But some of those things on your everyday, even on a personal level of your marriage as a father. I know some of the things that you've tried, but just, I don't know, speak to what were some of those things that you've shifted in your life that might be helpful for other people when they're trying to, maybe they have these big dreams, but boiling it down to, okay, what can I do today to move the needle?
That's a great question. For me and some people, this is tough for, but waking up before anybody else gets up. You don't have to even be a morning person, but if you could, you know, wake up 30 minutes to an hour before anybody else gets up, it's a lot easier for me to fill my cup. I can have my quiet time. I can read another book, meditate, go on a run. I mean, it's my time to really be able to focus myself. So then when my kids do wake up, all of my attention can be on them and I don't have to stress about the stuff that I have to get done. That's actually been something that I've been working on is, so when we had our second child, I told Mary Pat, hey, I'm going to get home a little earlier so I can help with the kids. Well, the office was still open. And for the first month or so, I would be so glued to my phone with what was going on at the office that Mary Pat essentially told me, hey, if this is going to be the way it is, just stay at work because you're not right. helping me that much. I think, and that kind of falls into that work-life balance. Someone told me this and I completely agree with it. I think work-life balance is a myth. I think you need to have complete focus on family when it's family time, and you need to have complete focus at work when you're at work. Because here's what would happen. I was kind of muddled with that. So when I'm at work, I'm thinking about my family and I'm checking in with Mary Pat and all that, which none of that's bad, but you know, my mind is elsewhere. So then when I get home, I haven't done what I needed to do. So now I'm thinking about work. So, you know, really focusing, being present, essentially being present. That's what helps with that. Waking up early, going back to your question, that's really helped. Taking care of yourself mentally and physically and spiritually. That's super important. It just helps you, you know, care for the people that you love that much more. Josh, you do a great job of this, is having set things on the calendar before, like you have things set on the calendar before they even happen. So that you know, like, hey, you know, every Thursday morning, I'm going to go to Waffle House with Eli.
Yep.
That was just something, you know, you felt convicted to do that. And that's just on the calendar and that's a non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. So you have that great time with Eli, which I think is awesome. So for me, Mary Pat and I, we had our calendar out and for the whole year, we, every other week, we just wrote in date night and we wrote that for like 4 months out. So it's having that, you know, time to really reflect and think about what are the things that are important to me and putting it on your calendar. That was something too, that, has really helped us. And the calendar, you know, several times Mary Pat says, hey, we have a date night tomorrow. And I had forgotten that we even had it on there. So I had to start kind of planning, but yep. Previous to that, we would have a date night once every 2 months, just because there was no intentionality. So making your calendar reflect what your priorities are.
That's great. Being proactive in where your time's going, your energy's going, rather than just being reactive to everything that's happening around us. And so with that, I want to ask some more things around your team and everything like that in a moment. But as you're leading a business, you've got teams that you're leading, lots of responsibility and stress, but also like you're trying to be a great husband, great dad. Is how do you one, determine your priorities, determine where there are a lot of things that you could do with your time, but you are allocating your time accordingly. So I think my ultimate question is like, how do you prioritize where your time, energy, and focus is going to? And then what are the ramifications from that?
Sure. That's a great question. I think it goes back to, if you are only reactive and you never have time to get away and think, you're only going to, you know, you're always going to be putting out fires. You're never, and a lot of times the things that aren't important are the things that are always urgent, but the things that are most important don't seem as urgent. So we don't tackle it with the same intensity. So like, for instance, an example of that would be, you know, me getting a call from a team member of mine saying that, hey, there's this crisis at work. You know, that's super urgent. But 9 times out of 10, it's really not a crisis. It's not that important, but because of that phone call kind of interrupting my day, I take time to do that. A date night with Mary Pat is not that urgent. But it's the most important thing that you can do, because, you know, a year from now, you know, if you've never spent that intentional time with your spouse, that's, you're really going to see, like you said, ramifications. You're going to see some negative consequences from that. But, you know, it's not that urgent. I mean, we hang out every night, like we're good. So it takes time to, you have to take time away and really come up with what your priorities are. And everybody's priorities are different. So it's what are my priorities? And then from that, let me make sure that I put that on the calendar. I have some accountability partners, people that I'm open with about, here's the things that are important to me. You know, in the Bible, it says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What are you spending your money on? What are you spending your time with? That very clearly shows you what your priorities are. But taking some time to reflect. And also, I think you could ask people close to you, what do you think my priorities are? Someone who will give you a truthful answer. And then from there, you can either know that you're going down the right path or course correct. Mm-hmm. But to be someone that, to be someone of high value, to be someone of that makes an impact in this world, you're going to have multiple buckets. You're going to have a family bucket, a work bucket, a leisure bucket, a financial bucket, that you're going to be pulled in a lot of different directions. I guess all of us have all of those buckets regardless, but it's those that are intentional with those are the ones that are going to make the best impact with those things. So it's, you know, I could be the best businessman in the world, but if I get divorced in 10 years, what was the point? Or, you know, I could be a great husband, but I eat terrible every night and I am diagnosed with some disease. I mean, there's multiple areas that you need to be, and not, like you said, not everyone is as achievement focused, which honestly is something that I'm kind of starting to see as a negative thing for me. I have to be more accepting of just, you know, living life. Life is not all about just getting trophies and awards. When I was in high school, I remember I wrote in this paper something to the effect of, I just said something like, I'm trying to remember exactly. It was like, oh, it was the Bible verse of gain the whole world but forfeit your soul. That was not going to be me. Like, I'm not going to gain the whole world yet forfeit my soul. But you know, it's easy to say that when you're in high school and your parents give you allowance. but when you grow up and you start providing for a family and it gets a lot more difficult. So that's the thing that I've really been focusing myself on what are my priorities? And that's, you know, to love my family, leave an impact, that people know that I'm a Christ follower, and just enjoying that journey of what you talked about, because there's going to be ups and downs with that, and just enjoying just the life that the Lord's given us, and not being so focused on going up the next rung.
That's awesome. Cause in a way, by doing that, it helps you like zoom out on the bigger picture of your life. And ultimately, like the story that you're telling of man, here's one day we'll hopefully all be old, frail and wrinkly and looking back on our life. And here's how I was as a husband. Here's how I was as a dad, leading my business, whatever it is. And I think we can sometimes get so short-sighted of what can I just achieve in this moment, but zooming out for a bigger picture and then letting that enforce how we live every single day and not just dreaming about tomorrow, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, man, you have to move the needle today for ultimately where you want to go in the future. And so with that, I would love to ask is kind of a big question, but man, like what for you, if you're that old, frail, wrinkly person, and what would you want to be the story told of your life if someone were to recount it?
Wow, that's a deep one. But that's a great question and something I probably need to think more on. But you know, someone who loved his family, someone that, you know, cared about others more than himself, someone that gave generously, someone who wanted, who was less concerned about his kingdom, but God's kingdom. I think those are the things that, I really want to focus on. That's what I want the story to be of my life. Life is short and we've even seen that recently with just some, you know, events that we've heard of, but, you know, just really making relationships is what's most important, and just making sure that, you know, you're in the right place with your family, your friends, your community. Those are the things that I want to be remembered for.
It's awesome, man. What would you say to anyone who's a young Parker Smith who's got these dreams and ambitions to lead a business, do whatever, have a great family? But as you've lived enough life, we're still plenty young, going to make a ton of mistakes in the years to come. But just like encourage a young guy who might be listening, who has dreams of aspiration around business, what's some things you'd encourage them about? Man, have a goal for your life, but here's some encouragements in the early years.
Right. That's a great question. I have a bunch of college students that work for me, and that's something that I talk with them about. You know, I think really just being okay with putting in the work, valuing experience over, you know, quick fixes for money, having that end goal in mind, but really enjoying the journey of what it takes. You know, all of us want, they even say this in studies that, you know, our generation, we want to live in our parents' house when we're, you know, 23, like we want to have that size house. I mean, so we're like we, that instant gratification culture, but just knowing that that's not reality, and enjoying the journey of getting better. I would say whatever you do, whether it's, you know, you work in a business, you're at school, you're work in ministry, is make yourself, so valuable that you can't be replaced. That is more, you know, more valuable than you know. And then I would also say really reaching out to people who are older than you, who are doing the same type of thing that you want to do, and picking their brain and seeing what are the things that they think are most important for that, that line of work. And that can be, for your work. That could also be, you know, surrounding yourself with somebody who's a great dad that has teenagers. That would be for me. Someone who's been, I've been married for 7 years, finding somebody who's been married for 25 and getting their advice. I think that's what I would advise anybody who's young is, you know, be okay with putting in the time. Be okay with sacrificing the people that have the most focus towards whatever they're trying to achieve is going to be the most successful. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think it's great. It's trying his best to, I say to guys all the time, it's like, man, what are you doing in the unseen right now? What are the things that only you and God can see? And what are you depositing in yourself that you're sowing seeds now that you're going to reap fruit in the years to come? And I think you are still, you know, in as you're talking about a learner's mindset, sowing seeds right now for 50-year-old Parker's going to reap. And so, man, we're nearly going to bring our time to a close, but a couple more quick questions that I wanted to ask you is how are you trying to continually make people better around you? Like, what are the things that you're focused on? How do you make your team better, friends better? Like, what are the things that you're like, here's some ways to move the needle around me?
Yeah, that's great. A leader has nothing to do with their title. It has to do with how much influence they have. So I see a lot of people that have a title of a leader that I would not classify as a leader. And in terms of getting the people around me at my office better, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care about them. So really focusing on that personal relationship, finding out about their family, about their kids, about their hobbies, their dreams, and then finding out what their priorities are. And hey, how can I be here? How can I be here to help? You know, most people quit their job not because of, you know, pay or finding a better opportunity. Most of the time it's because they can't stand their superior. And also they don't feel like they're getting developed. That's the main thing. So I told myself when I opened up my agency 5 years ago, people can leave for whatever reason they want, but they cannot say that I did not develop them. So putting some, you know, we talked about this earlier, intentional time on the calendar to walk around the office, see how people are doing, asking how you can help them with whatever they have going on. So that's one. And then two, another thing that like just leading by example of, you know, sharing things that I'm learning, sharing podcast with my team. Hey, I found this helpful. If you want to listen to it, here it is. And then just being always open for, you know, time for questions or, so that's the main thing that I've focused on. The one thing that I did learn, you mentioned this earlier, but not everybody has the same dreams and not everybody learns the same way. So I thought, oh, I'm just going to, everybody must do it the same way that I do it. So I'm just going to like give them the stuff that I've done. Well, I quickly found out that was not successful. So I really kind of spent time with them. Like, okay, this person is, you know, they learn best by seeing it in practice. So I'm going to sit across the computer with them and we're really going to hash this out. Or some people are good just watching a video. So I'm going to send them a video. So really getting to know the people that you work with. But yeah, I would just really challenge people of, you know, even so, like I said, leadership is about influence. Even in your current role, if you are not the quote unquote leader, you can be the leader with your peers and with your boss. I have a couple of people in my office that they'll pull me aside and say, hey, I think that this strategy would work. And they've really kind of spent the time, you know, developing themselves, and I listen to what they say. So in that situation, they're the leader. So just for anybody who thinks that they have to wait until, you know, they get the title of team lead on their resume, it's too late at that point. So that would be the biggest advice I would give.
That's awesome, man. And I think you do that great. Like, I think you model it first in your personal development. You model it in your family and your marriage. And I think you prioritize it really well. And then I tease you, but I've seen it to be true of whether we're at the old local Walmart or we're walking down the street, is like you have great rapport amongst the city, the community, and your business. And I think to bring it full circle of the start of the conversation when you're talking about a quote unquote ministry, but it's like, man, you are impacting the kingdom and the people around you. And I think, man, what an honorable way to live. And mate, super, super proud to call you friend and proud of all you're doing in business. And I think there's a lot to learn for everyone listening to this conversation, no matter their industry or whatever they want to do. So mate, we're going to bring it to a close. So thank you so much for jumping on the call. And mate, where can people, if they want to reach out to you, continue the conversation, whether it's old social media or email, or whatever, what's the best way to keep following your journey?
Yeah. So on Facebook, I'm Parker Smith. My Instagram is linked on there. My Instagram is, J Parker Smith. I think that it's J Parker Smith, I believe. And then you can always, you know, find me on State Farm's website, Google Parker Smith State Farm. My email address is there. Yeah. If anybody has any questions or anything, would love to talk with them.
It's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much. And we'll do this again real soon.
Yeah. Appreciate you.